Okay, everybody, drop your tacos or I'll blow your brains out. Welcome to another episode of Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week, we welcome filmmakers, actors, journalists, programmers, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. At Yale, some private college in New England, Lloyd Kaufman was placed in a dormitory with two film fanatics. He says, as a result of that circumstance, that he knew everything had irrevocably changed. In fact, Kaufman was infected with a love of movies for which he would never recover. It was at the same obscure community college in Connecticut where he would meet his future business partner, Michael Herz, at Yale. The Troma Universe was born in 1974 with a series of highly original, raunchy comedies such as Squeeze Play, Stuck on You, Waitress, and other titles that end with an exclamation point. He would go on to work in some capacity on such iconic 70s films as Rocky and My Dinner with Andre. But Kaufman's relationship with mainstream Hollywood would not last long. Who are we kidding? His relationship with non-Hollywood didn't either. But then in 1984, Kaufman wrote, produced, and directed a charming sentimental film called The Toxic Avenger. This tale of a health club mop boy named Melvin, who is transformed into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength, struck a chord with ticket buyers and critics alike, demonstrating that there was an audience for Kaufman's peculiar style. The Toxic Avenger went on to spawn three sequels. The most recent film in the series is Citizen Toxie, The Toxic Avenger Part 4. Other notable celluloid, that's not mine, I didn't write that, but celluloid titles include...
Low-hanging fruit.
Right, exactly. That's my area of...
You know, Fred Willard was kicked off PBS for making a Lloyd...
comment.
Something
doing
very
something
Lloyd.
He did something
very
Lloyd. Now you're co-opting that
And they
term
call him Fred Willard now. Willoyd. Anyway.
And it's a shame he was going to be on my next show, too.
Yeah, well, he's still... They shouldn't... it shows you how screwed up PBS is, right? That's absurd. What
so
was the lewd
that
thing he did, by the way? And nobody.
Well, he was with his... And he was with his wife. Supposedly he was, I don't know, yanking something.
He was doing a wiener?
In the name of the movie, it was something with yank in the title, in fact.
Wow.
There was a remark about it.
Just for that, and PBS,
and they said
of
he
all
was
people
in a theater,
PBS,
but he was with his wife.
PBS has sick stuff. It's ridiculous.
They disgusting
See,
organization.
PBS is, yeah, PBS has got all sorts of stuff on there, right? Perverted
broadcasting system.
They got Charlie Rose, for God's sake.
Exactly.
He's sick. Any rate,
I did
thank
rip
you
off
to Film Wax. After 40 years of failed filmmaking, I am very happy to be here, and The Toxic Avenger has given me permission to expose myself in a Fred Willard way if necessary.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting here in your backyard, and I can say that you're... There's way
many
too
people
way
have
too much
my
flesh.
Backyard. Oh, this backyard. Sorry.
way too much flesh exposed right now, but we're meeting up possibly one of the most humid evenings on record.
Yes, so very humid.
And thank you for having me over to your...
My pleasure.
To shake off.
Thank you to Film Wax for being interested in Troma and true independent cinema.
You claim to actually be the I won't say oldest, but I will say maybe the longest,
most pathetic, saddest, most
paranoid.
Troma's probably the longest running independent movie studio in history. I don't believe there has ever been an independent movie studio that has existed for 40 years, especially with the same management. And if that's not true, I guarantee you that Troma is the only movie studio that has existed for 40 years without ever having had a hit. And as long as I, Lloyd Kaufman, am president, I guarantee you, Adam, that we will continue that unblemished record.
And hence, no one will ever lose a job either, because if you're shooting low, there's no way to fail. Have you ever actually had to fire somebody who worked for Troma?
The people
I
usually,
wonder what you would do to get yourself fired from this company.
That's interesting. I have fired people, but very rarely. Usually people...
They had too much taste?
Usually people just quit. They chicken out or they can't take it. But the people who continue on our films, and in order to make a Troma movie, the people who work on Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, and the upcoming Return to Nukem High, they know they have to sleep on the floor, eat cheese sandwiches three times a day,
yeah,
and learn how to defecate in a paper bag.
Not that you actually don't have bathrooms on the set, but it's still a requirement.
No, they still need to do that. In fact, we have had a dearth of bathrooms. On Troma's War, for example, we only had one bathroom for about 400 people. We had one porta potty, and it started filling up. So when you sat on it, you would actually sit on somebody else's excrement.
Mm-hmm.
So people started going to the bathroom in the woods. But 2 weeks later, we had our big battle scene in the woods. So
there goes. So that would come back to haunt them.
It was very bad.
But I was thinking that you could get some of your props from the Port-a-San.
From the bathroom?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You know, it's a kind of scatological. You have scatological
you can't
props
use,
in your.
No, you
no,
have
I know.
To
you
make
use,
it. That's right. If you read my book, make your
I
own
did.
Damn movie, or produce your own damn movie, or direct your own damn movie. You can learn the secrets of how we make fake vomit, a vegetarian vomit, or vegetarian duty, as we call it in the trade.
Yeah, technical terms. I do. I
you
I've done
do,
a little research.
You said do right after I said do.
I do. I'm very influenced.
Cool.
You're influencing me. I do actually know one of your trade secrets for these.
Well,
for
don't
your
tell
special thing.
George Lucas. But what is it?
Toilet paper.
Yes, exactly. To make blood guts
and brain matter.
Yeah, if you need brain matter and your spaghetti blood is not bad either.
Your effects are really actually fairly. They're really realistic.
They're great, absolutely. And
you take a lot of pride in that.
If you look at our movies and if you read my books, you can see that the effects are rather inexpensive, and basically anyone can do them.
Well, that you don't want to say that, but I guess yeah.
No, just don't tell Steven Spielberg the secrets.
But you do take a lot of pride in that. You take a lot of pride in the effects. You take
a lot of gay pride too.
I will get around to that, but you also take a lot of pride in the way you run your set. I mean, you on one
my
hand
staff, infections. Yes, I have had
yes.
I've had that drip for quite a while.
But you're big on like us. I because I was listening to some of your commentaries as a way of doing. There's the do again, but the due diligence for this interview because, you know, you want to get deeper and learn more about the brain. Your brain and the way you think, mm-hmm. the way you run Troma Films, and so
this guy actually did some research. That's
no,
pretty good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
Listen to
that's
the audio
great.
Commentary
New York
on Tromeo and Juliet.
Yep.
Yeah. Or what about the Village Voice? We'll get to that too in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Sure. Sure.
But I was impressed also just in terms of how much time you here are all these, you know, on this audio commentary of Tromeo and Juliet, for instance, all these. Like you're watching these scenes that are unbelievable in terms of what you're looking at, and you're going on for 20 minutes about toilet paper and how you make brain matter, and it's like so clearly what I got out of that is that you really felt like you know this is something you really is important, and it's
well
you know.
So many of our Troma fans are filmmakers or artists or
right.
try to be underground artists with freedom, and you know we try to share what we've got with them. In the same way
the
that right now on YouTube, there are over 100 Troma movies there for free. We want to share. People don't make art for money. They shouldn't be. It should be. It's nice to make some money, but it's important to have people see your art. And the idea of helping other people to. Figure out how to do it is a satisfying thing.
Hence the books.
The books
it's
and
like
I act. If you look at my IMDb, I've acted in about 200 or 300 movies for free.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, for free if they didn't have budgets. The Troma fans will support anything I do, so they know they can
right.
sell, you know, a bunch of DVDs at least 5 or 6.
So you do bit parts for gratis and to help out young filmmakers.
If the people can't afford
you didn't pay your you didn't pay your
here
bill.
Come my tenants. These are the these are the people who are in the movie.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Which movie? The new
in the movie.
The new one.
Yeah.
And so you
they've been
not only do you
they've
not pay
rehearsing.
Them more than a tiny bit, but they actually have to pay you rent.
Well, no. They
you
stay here and we rehearse.
Oh, very
oh,
good.
Yeah. We let them stay here. And in fact, in Niagara Falls, where we're about to film Return to Nukem High, We've rented a very spacious funeral home, and all the cast and crew are staying in the funeral home, and it's also the production office. So we let them stay for free.
I see.
We don't pay them either, but what the hell?
So who's in there? Who's behind the? We're in the garden, and there's a downstairs and the garden level of the apartment.
Anyway, it's a way of making films where it's right. I think we really did crowdsourcing before anybody because our fans are very much involved in the making of our films, and our fans have been very involved in this business strategy of Troma. And for example, our fans told us about the internet. I was probably the first studio head to be, in fact, Roger Ebert, when we were on CompuServe, I don't know how many years ago, CompuServe was a, it's no longer exists, but Roger Ebert said I was the first movie studio chief who was actually on the internet talking to fans.
Mm-hmm.
And not just fans, but I also talked to air conditioners.
You couldn't arrange
I've
for one
talked
tonight.
About Kierkegaard with the air conditioners. Mm-hmm. I've talked about the recent production of Chekhov with, what's her name in it, the star, Kate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine what the air conditioners can tell you. And the fans, too. Fans are great.
I see. Right, fans and air conditioners. Right. And they're very, sounds like they're very erudite.
Our fans are pretty damn. Our fans, for the most part, Troma fans are not rich. They're not poor. They're poor for the most part. They are the underdogs, but they are very well informed. They know what's going on. They're wise.
Right.
They know that Obama and Romney are both cowards, and that they have said nothing about the fact that assault rifles should be outlawed.
Mm-hmm.
That the gun control laws are a disgrace. They've said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They both. I don't even think Romney said anything, but Obama has said, "Oh, you're such wonderful victims. You're just the best victims."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Our fans understand that Obama should have said, "God damn it. Where are the gun laws? What are we doing in this country letting the NRA run rampant?"
Right.
But he's afraid to say that because
of course,
people, like
anybody
you,
who's got to
people like film wax,
yes.
little fascists, you
yes.
goddamn...
you can curse on its internet
no,
radio.
Kidding, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But Obama should have... It's a great opportunity for him to you know,
it would have been. I think
done.
So, too. I think it was a great moment to just sort of say we've had, you know what, he needs to probably have Joe Biden do that because I guess Joe
Biden.
Somebody
should have.
He's the one that was assigned the balls.
Romney hasn't even said. Nobody's.
No.
Nobody.
That, well,
where's Schumer?
Yeah, we can't.
I haven't heard Schumer. Schumer's got a big mouth. He's on TV. That's our senator here.
Right.
None of them has said anything because the National Rifle Association has got a very powerful lobby and they're scared shit about them.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace.
It's
ridiculous.
At least
plus, a Batman, tell me something. This Dark Knight, what is it?
The Dark Knight Rises.
My wife is the New York State Film Commissioner.
Right.
Took me to see the opening, the premiere of Dark Knight Rising or whatever it is. I thought it was awful, and yet the people love it. The people love
do
it.
They?
It's a huge
do
hit.
They? Or is this do they just have such
you,
so
what
much
did you think?
Hype?
Was it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
My son, I have a son, and I threatened to take him to it because he's such a Batman fan, but it doesn't mean he wouldn't just enjoy, you know, Adam West. And, you know, doing
For $250 million and on top of it, marketing rights, marketing, $100 million. I honestly, the script was, again, I there have been, the Batman fans have been beating up critics who've criticized Batman.
I know.
You know, so what do I know?
I know if you read David Edelstein in the New York Magazine, he apologizes profusely in the sense of, like, he knows it's going to be incredibly unpopular to criticize Batman. It's like,
well, Rex Reed wrote a very negative review, and people, if they could find out that he lives in the Dakota, same place that John Lennon lived in, people might come and kill him. Luckily, nobody knows that Rex Reed lives in the Dakota.
I think he's in apartment 7J.
Was in Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, of course. Poor.
Where were we?
He's also in
now that we've
one of my
gotten
next
Rex
guests.
Reed and David Osteen beaten up.
Yeah. you make your bed. It's what my philosophy.
Exactly.
You know, burn your bridges. Tell me, what is this compulsion with pun making?
One of my Yale classmates says that pun making is a sign of dementia, as opposed to the woman.
Do you remember who this guy was?
Peter Deckham, who is also an amazing punster. Do you know him?
No.
He's a major, big-time lawyer, okay. for the industry, for the media industry. A very good guy.
After this evening, I'm sure I'll need a lawyer.
By the way, it looks like it's starting to rain. If you guys want to move inside, I'm okay with that. It's up to you. I don't want your computer to break.
I think all these, all the equipment here. You're right, and it's not going to get better. So we're going to move inside to the Kaufman Manse, and I'm not going to give the address here.
We don't say manse. We say romance.
We're back, and we're inside your house. What's going on here? Everything is like in disarray, packed up, or...
Well, yes, Desiree was here. She's a very good friend of mine. Desiree is a fabulous friend.
Okay.
But unfortunately, Poultry Guy's Night of the Chicken Dead did not exactly perform. It is my foul movement, but it didn't fly. And
I'm sorry.
Poultry Guy's, we have to move out. But
that's tough.
The landlord is giving. But at least you got the interview. You can see that things were better at a certain time. And unfortunately, we've got to be out by tomorrow.
So tomorrow.
We've got, we don't have a lot of time here. I still have a lot of packing to do, Adam.
Is that my phone? I think I hear something. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I think I have to take this call.
Could be my landlord.
No, but you are leaving tomorrow, Wednesday.
Wednesday, I will be going to Niagara Falls. The cast and crew of Return to Newcomb High are there now rehearsing. Mm-hmm. And
what's that about? No, you've made how many Newcomb Highs can you possibly make? You've made
well.
Three
this
of
is
them,
a revisiting trilogy. Of Newcomb High. This is
revisiting?
Return to Newcomb High.
Okay.
And Stars Media wants us to make this movie, and they're willing to let me direct it. And this is, like many Troma movies, this is historic because usually remakes, for example, the remake of The Toxic Avenger that is being planned is $150 million.
And
you know these remakes are movies that cost $500,000 and
yes.
they're remaking them for $200 million or whatever.
Right.
Mother's Day was recently remade, my brother's movie, and it was remade by Brett Ratner. That was a movie that cost $150,000
mm-hmm.
and he made it for billions of dollars. Brett Ratner remade mm-hmm. it for... billions of dollars, whereas my brother Charles made it originally for, you know, breadcrumbs.
Right.
And he happens to be in the baking business at this very moment. So
well,
Return to Newcomb High is going to be a historic movie in that it will be the first remake that was made for less than the original, and which is quite astounding.
That's true?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it would be a very... Why do you think they're letting me direct?
Stars. Yeah.
Stars Media is letting me... They wouldn't let me direct with a big budget,
true.
Right?
It's true.
Anyway, it's going to be very good. It's a revisiting of the class
I don't know what
that.
What's a revisiting?
Well, for example, the original class of Newcomb High, actually nobody knows this. You are the first. The original class of Newcomb High was a sort of a take on the teenage romantic beach blanket bingo kind of movie, but it had our spin on it, the monsters and nudity and violence and took the Frankie Avalon beach blanket bingo kind of thing out into
ramped
the,
it up a bit
into the 80s. Well, the new class of Newcomb, the original class of Newcomb High, mm-hmm. the main characters, as you recall, were Chrissy and Warren, star-crossed lovers. Chrissy and Warren. This class of Newcomb High, the return to class of Newcomb High, will have Chrissy and Lauren as the main lovers.
People are going to be lost. You know, they're not going to recognize.
Well, it will be a major step in the young-oriented movie. I don't think there have been too many. There have been gay-oriented movies, but for the most part, they're very intellectual, right? They've got serious female directors, and mm-hmm. there haven't been any movies aimed kind of at the college-age demographic that have dealt with this theme, and the kinds of movies that we make with monsters and mixing all the genres, sex, monsters, politics, sociology, Shakespeare, all that stuff mixed together.
Right.
This will be the first, I think, with the gay lovers.
Mm-hmm. Now, even though you're not wearing your trademark bow tie tonight.
No, I'm not because
you're not on the clock or working.
Well, we've got a little problem here. I got to get out of the land. You know, this is the end of the month, and
we got
to get out of here.
So you shipped your bow ties off.
Yeah, I had to. What can I do? And plus, I got to load all this stuff into a van later on. But luckily, there are no cameras here, and I don't have to worry. This is our little secret. You won't tell anyone that we've
convicted.
Okay.
No, of course, no. And, you know, there's no, I mean, what am I going to do? Rent it? How do you get video out to the masses in minutes anyway?
Yeah, nobody knows.
That's not possible.
Just don't tell anyone.
Okay.
But ever since, we've been basically economically blacklisted for years. You know,
yes.
Cannibal the Musical by Trey Parker and Matt Stone has sold hundreds of thousands of DVDs and videos, cassettes.
Generation never, of fans.
Never been on TV, on any form of, not even shitty Skinamax,
mm-hmm.
not even a crappy Showtime. Citizen Toxie, the fourth Toxic Avenger movie.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic Avenger is being remade by Akiva Goldsman. It's part of the American lexicon. Mm-hmm. There's an off-Broadway show that ran a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, by Bon Jovi, and it's going to Broadway. The Toxic Avenger had the cartoons and toys and comic Marvel.
Cartoon series.
Yeah, and Marvel Comics and 200 licensing. Never, the Citizen Toxie's never been on American television of any sort, not even cable. This is called economic blacklisting, and this is what happens when you become an independent artist. You are blacklisted economically. Even Comedy Central, you'd think they would play Cannibal the Musical. What, does Comedy Central have any hits? Yes, they have one called South Park,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. They got Jon Stewart and Colbert. But other than that, their channel is garbage, at least in ratings term. You know, Louis C.K., oh, he's on FX, but he's good.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, they, in spite of that, can you imagine if they played Cannibal the Musical with Trey and Matt, who are willing to do the wraparounds?
Mm-hmm.
They could play it. There's no sex or violence in Cannibal the Musical.
So let's go deeper. So why do you feel the establishment? It's the establishment, right? They're going to define what quality is.
No, it's not it at all. No, they're not defining what quality. Well, I guess they are defining what everything is. But the point is that they have been permitted, thanks to Reagan and Clinton, they have been permitted to get rid of the rules that used to protect the public against monopoly.
Right.
Reagan got rid of the consent decree of 1948, which allowed the studios to own and control the movie theaters. Mm-hmm. And then I did not have sex with that goat. That guy, Clinton, mm-hmm. on his watch, I don't say it's necessarily his fault, but on his watch, the financial syndication rule was done away with. And that was the rule that prevented the television industry from becoming vertically integrated. Prior to 1993, when the financial syndication rule was removed, the networks were not allowed to own their content, and mm-hmm. they had to license at least 35% of their so-called content from independent sources. If you remember, the 70s mm-hmm. were a very creative period when the Jeffersons and the Archie Bunker and there were independently, totally independently produced material.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a result, NBC, GE, Comcast, whatever that thing is,
right.
they own the content. So what do you have now? What are the shows you're going to see on your screen? Bachelorette and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, the public seems to go for it. But if you have nothing else to eat, you'll eat baby food.
Or dog food, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, I think a lot of people are eating dog food, thanks to the good people in Congress.
That's right. So, wow. Okay. I didn't.
You're speechless.
Wisdom. Exactly.
40 years of failed filmmaking. That's.
I don't think so.
The fountain failed of wisdom.
By, no, but you know the people.
The
that,
word independent has been stolen,
come on,
right? The word independent has been stolen. Right? Look what people say are independent. Perfect. Movies like Juno.
Right.
Juno, a $20 million movie produced by somebody's son, right? Some big shot son and starring all sorts of big people and a cute little movie about a middle class white girl who gets pregnant. How cute is that? Well, it ain't so cute when you're up in Harlem and they've got every school has got 40 or 50 14-year-old kids with babies. It ain't so cute.
If I had known we were going to go off in such a political tangent, I would have picked up a book or something. No.
well, the point is that
but you've been doing this a really long time, so, you know.
Well, you asked why we're economically blacklisted.
Yeah,
you can,
that's
I think
true.
I've
I
explained
did.
It.
That's true, I did.
People hate me. Everybody hates me. You hate me.
No,
you hated me from time you
no.
came in here.
I'm going to be doing my four-part series on Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh, thank you.
So,
thank
Chris, we're going to be...
Oh, good. Thank
yeah,
you.
And thank you for so much of the time. Let's talk about vegetarianism. Do people eat meat on the set? Do you
oh,
know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Well,
I don't,
but you,
I'm not
but there,
a...
Because you have
I'm
a not. Larger philosophy about vegetarianism, don't
well,
you?
Well, about 10
about
years ago, one of my daughters, in fact, the daughter who played Audrey in
yes.
Terra Firma, she has been vegetarian mm-hmm. most of her life. But PETA happened to be a sponsor years ago of the Troma Dance Film Festival, TromaDance.com.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
And so I started watching their movies, mm-hmm. and I saw one about pigs, and I stopped meat, flesh of beef and chicken, and then I stopped the fish.
Did you?
I happened to have an evening of epiphany during Comic-Con several years ago, and I happened to wander. I had to go to the bathroom, and I went into a big giant fish restaurant, and there were these cases, glass cases of dead fish after dead fish, and then there were photographs of these men with 500 fish
hooks on the hooks and the bags, and
500 of them, not one, but. And you know,
like they're proud because they have these enormous nets and boxes that can capture thousands of these fish.
So I stopped eating fish, but I do eat cheese and egg and Twizzlers.
So it is very much
Twizzlers is vegan. Twizzlers has become vegan. They don't
very good.
They don't
use that for
the gel anymore. But they don't taste as good either.
You can eat them while you watch a trauma film.
Yes, but they don't taste as good as they used to. I have to admit,
nothing does.
Well, certain things do. Cock does.
Well, you're eating.
Oh, I mean, chicken does, but I
don't eat
chicken.
Cock.
Of course.
I know that. It's part of the. I was going to say because the there's another.
Luckily,
one of these.
Nobody is filming this. Nobody will ever see this, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, though those in your film may.
Pardon?
A lot of characters in your film may eat cock, but you know.
Well, Poultrygeist was all about cock.
Yeah.
Night of the Chicken Dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes. Exactly. And there's a very, very memorable scene also in Romeo and Juliet. I guess it's my personal favorite.
Is Romeo and Juliet your favorite Romeo? Have you seen
Seen a few.
Poultrygeist?
This is, no, I haven't.
Oh,
not,
you
ought to
check
not,
it out. I think it's the best one.
Okay.
Although Romeo and Juliet is really good.
It is really good.
It's a good gateway film because you can take a date to Romeo. Women, gynos, like Romeo and Juliet. And,
guys
good,
do?
Gyno-American. That's a
the gyno women of the female persuasion.
You don't say female. That has the word male, and you can't say girl. That's politically incorrect. So NPR has suggested that gyno-American would be the appropriate word.
Okay.
Although homonymically, gyno has the word guy in it, which kind of screws things up, if you'll pardon the pun. But we accept gyno-American, or in the case of kangaroos, gyno Australian, gyno British.
Yes.
At the Olympics, you'd be a gyno British.
Right, and you would necessarily end that with of the female persuasion.
I would not say that.
You say that often, though.
Well, that's only because I slip into the, you know, I'm an old guy. You know, I've been around, and I slip into the politically incorrect zone. But
you can't help
thanks
it.
To NPR, I've learned many things.
You have not been invited on there either, then. Or perhaps you have.
Uh-oh, here comes my wife. My wife is here. Don't tell her what we said.
No. Does she know she's being...
She does not know I'm gay. Hello?
Okay.
Hi, honey. Go ahead, take a bite. Just tell me, what's his kryptonite?
On him. He'll melt faster than the Wicked Witch of the West.
That's all? Common household bleach?
I've said it, now go!